Hi, I'm Alistair.
And I'm Sean.
And you're listening to The Commander's Brew.
This week, life versus death. Welcome back, everybody.
Yo!
The Commander's Brew, episode 56, Life versus Death. Your hosts, Sean Tabaris. And this week, I got Alistair from our playgroup.
What's up, everybody?
What is up?
Well, great to be back, man. Yeah. It's really feels good. I put it on video this time as well. Which is well, great.
You'll recall Alistair from our Sea Monsters episode from Guest Month.
Yes, indeed.
Yeah, you might remember the interview with Abouchon as well, which was great. Going through the guest hosts.
Yeah,
Andy is still on his honeymoon. He's in. I was thinking today about. So he's in like England, like. Paris, and he went to London, and I feel like that's Innistrad, right? Like Innistrad is kind of Europe.
Yeah. That makes sense. Yeah, and then because I heard when you're talking to Scott that Theros is like the Greece for sure.
Theros is it's Greece, right? Like Southern Europe or whatever. I think like Central Asia is Tarkir.
Yes,
and all the Mongolian tribes kind of thing. That was Tarkir.
Yes,
it looks like we're going to like South Asia for Kaladesh.
Yeah. What about Zendikar being Russia in the summer?
Oh, okay. Okay. I was thinking Australia, New Zealand for Zendikar because just the beautiful landscapes. But
that makes more sense. You know,
summer Russia.
Russia's got huge forests. Yeah.
Yeah, it's true. Yeah, giant monsters.
But only in the summer. In the winter, not Zendikar at all.
Yeah.
Just switches planes.
And then have we don't have any South American themed. And I think, what is North America? I think Ravnica is probably North America, just cities and industry and stuff like that.
Yeah, that probably makes sense. Yeah.
I hope I haven't offended our European listeners by assuming that North America is the center of industry.
Like, for sure, Ornithopters, North America.
Okay, well, that would put Kaladesh here.
Oh, I have no idea what set Ornithopters originally were from.
Oh, originally
aren't they, like,
from?
They revised? Aren't they
Well,
way
yeah.
back?
Well, and then we talk about, like, Magic doesn't talk about it anymore, but there's a place called Dominaria, which is sort of like the basic place, which is where, like, Sarah Angel and, like, Singer Vampire. And,
really?
Like, that's sort of where the core sets have come from.
No way! So all of the core sets come from this just, like, pretty lame, like, well, like everybody's mean, like, well, we're all just a part of this.
They're the core set place. It's like, it's like Ohio. Sorry, any listeners from Ohio?
But Ohio is for sure a core set, for sure.
Yeah. Oh, man.
Oh, that's great. I had no idea about that. That's the plane they come from.
Yeah, I think so. I think so. You know, my Vorthos is not 100%, but that's kind of the way it goes.
Yeah.
boy. Good to have you. Good to have you.
So glad to be here.
We're brewing life versus death. That's the theme this week. The way we took that theme was life link versus death touch.
Yeah.
We always brew on a budget. These decks will come in at $50 or less, we guarantee. And then we also will try to make sure that no card is over $5 unless it has to be in there for some reason. We've broken that rule before and we've gotten some flack for it.
Dude, prices are going up though.
They do. They do go up. It sucks. Well, but that's also a good thing in the sense that it keeps making us use new cards.
Yeah, which is true. And to be fair, too, the last couple sets, they've been printing some great Commander cards.
Oh, they've been generous to us in Commander.
Totally.
Generous.
Have not forgot about us. I was thinking, too, about how Magic has exploded in popularity, which, like, even from, what, like, 4 or 5 years ago when I got back into it with you guys, even older cards were still so cheap. Like,
so
I would
cheap.
Never think about spending more than, like, a buck or two. And now, all the time, cards, because have just exploded in price, but now is the printing now matching the number of players now playing, so it'll keep the current cards at a lower price. Do you know what I mean?
Yes.
Like, unless the growth continues to be exponential, in which case those,
good for us.
Yeah.
You know what? If the card prices go up are a function of having that many more people playing this game, that's
great.
Only a good thing.
It's all good
because that only means that they will keep making this awesome game, right? And making it better.
Yeah, and then maybe we can have an agreement with everyone, new player coming in, like, you can't buy Ashnod's Altars.
Hey, new players. Welcome to this great game. I'm excited to have you aboard. Don't touch my friggin' cards.
Don't be eye shieldred anymore. Like, that thing just went off the chart.
Stop buying shieldreds.
Yeah.
You don't get one.
Soul rings?
Yeah. Oracle Moldiah? Not for you.
Yeah.
When we got back in, Theros was in rotation.
Yeah,
I think we got back in. You around Return to Ravnica.
Yeah, Ravnica and Guildmage. What Guildgate?
Yeah, Gatecrash.
Gatecrash. That's right. Yeah, great. We nailed it.
Guildcrash.
Yeah, just a whole guild building crashing down. Like two guilds crashing into each other. We shouldn't have built them on wheels.
Ah, Rakdos. Why didn't you turn? Me no want to turn.
Oh man, this is great. I don't know. So we actually started recording 13 minutes of this podcast before Sean realized he hadn't hit the record button, and we're going back. And I have to say, this conversation way better.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Thank you. Yeah. I'm glad. There is a lost 13 minutes out there that
may one day surface on the internet.
You know, a bunch of years from now, we'll let it. But like, yeah, like this is our banter is a lot better right now.
Yeah, way better.
Our banter is a lot better. Cool. Most awkward segue back into business. Yeah, so great. I want to mention this as well. We got a sponsor, the Wizards Tower. Stay tuned at the end of the episode. We'll tell you how you can enter our latest contest to get you packs of Eldritch Moon.
Yes.
It's in the wrapper. Look at that.
Oh, man.
So we're going to give away draft sets of that. In sets of one and to multiple people. We want to spread it out. Yeah.
So cool.
So stay tuned for that. If you love the show so much and you ask yourself, how can I support the show even more than by just listening? Because just listening is a wonderful way to support us. But, you know, you can join our Patreon. We got a Patreon. You can patreon.com/commandersbrew. You can donate a dollar a show or more. If you do, we'll send you some sweet perks, thank you cards. You can set your maximum per month. You can cancel any time. It doesn't matter. But that allows us to do things like video.
Yeah.
And grow the show otherwise. This is wonderful. Cool. But let's get into the decks.
Yeah. Well, isn't there not a commercial before
the decks? Oh, my goodness. We do need to do the commercial, right?
We got so off track talking about guilds crashing into each other.
Yeah. ad for the lovely and talented Wizards Tower. WizardTower.com.
Everybody, I want to ask you to come on down to Jack's Calamari House and fish fry. Oh man, our calamari has never been better. There are so many tentacles everywhere in Innistrad that we got crazy deals on calamari. You know what else is a crazy deal? Go to www.wizardtower.com, the Wizard's Tower. Their kind of deals are great. You order singles $15 or more in Canada, free shipping. $10 or more in the US, free shipping. Use the coupon code TOWEROFBREWS, 5% off your order. Oh, and you want to get some extra kickback? No problem. They'll automatically give you 3% kickback for your next order. These guys are the greatest. Second only to my calamari. Come on down. It couldn't be more fresh. Seriously, I lost 2 chefs catching this stuff. I need to buy a nice gift for their family for having their people, you know, fall down in the line of the restaurant business. Anyway, so come on down and have our special in commemoration of those 2 guys. Okay, thank you.
Ooh, what an ad.
Oh, very specific.
That person has a lot to say.
Yeah, I couldn't believe that thing with a hat.
Yeah, the ad has all those things in it.
It sure will.
It had.
Yeah, I mean, did. Yes.
Yeah, we already listened to it.
Obviously.
Great. Life versus death. Let's get into these decks. So I built the Lifelink deck. And for reasons which will become obvious to you, I picked Teneb the Harvester for my commander. It is 3 black, green, white. That is to say, Abzan. And it's a dragon. It's a 6/6 flying. Whenever Teneb the Harvester deals combat damage to a player, you may pay 2 and a black. If you do, put target creature card from a graveyard onto the battlefield under your control. That's a cool ability.
Oh, so good.
I mostly picked him because I want these colors. These are great colors for what this deck wants to do. But I could totally build another deck based around that ability. No problem.
Completely. I have him in my Scion Tribal deck. And he's so great, too, because people underestimate the flying thing. Like, really, you could almost always tag somebody and then be able to do the ability to get your wonderful value.
It's great. And it's out of any graveyard. not just your graveyard.
Oh, yeah.
So, like, there's always good stuff in graveyards. Oh, always. Yeah.
Oh, so me, I built the Death Touch Tribal Deck around Glissa the Traitor, my second choice.
Don't tell her that, though.
No, oh my gosh.
Never tell a lady she's your second choice. No,
definitely not one that sits on either a throne or just has giant snakes coming out of her. I can't really
tell. But what
about
this? Alternate Glissa.
Oh, you could tell her that, maybe. She might talk about it with you. No, probably not. So Glissa the Traitor is one swamp, two forests, for a 3/3 First Strike Death Touch Legendary Creature Zombie Elf. First Strike Death Touch, lethal combo.
Lethal combo.
So good on a commander.
If you like the way the rules interaction works is that the First Strike damage happens, and that is Death Touch damage. So it doesn't matter how big the opposing creature is, it will die before it has a chance to go into the regular damage phase.
Yeah.
And since you only need to assign lethal damage to each creature, if they block with three creatures, you assign every point is lethal damage, so you can assign 1 point to the first one, 1 point to the second, 1 point to the third, and she will eat three creatures before any can hit back, unless they also have first strike.
Yes, indeed. But there's more too to Glyph the Traitor.
That's just the tip.
Whenever a creature an opponent controls is put into a graveyard from the battlefield, you may return target artifact card from your graveyard to your hand. Of course, in a Death Touch Tribal deck, you're going to have a lot of creatures going to the graveyard, bringing stuff back. It's all about value.
Yeah.
I should mention, I think, because I set out to build this Death Touch Tribal deck, and I looked up every single Death Touch creature I could find, and basically, like, we'd already committed to the theme at that point, and then I looked it up, and I was like, oh, this is a huge mistake. So, because I initially was building around Damia, who's a great commander, but it's blue, black, green, and she refills your hand every upkeep, which is pretty amazing. But I started pulling all the cards I wanted for this Death Touch Tribal, and it was all green and black. I think I had, like, one blue creature. Save a bunch of cash by doing Glyph the Traitor, and this has actually worked out really well. Because the recursion aspect, it works super great.
That's the cool thing about Bruin decks on a budget and on a theme and all this kind of stuff, because you come up with interesting things.
And I'm wholly confident that this build is better than the one I was planning under Damia.
Love it.
Initially, yeah.
Love it. Great. So let's break it down a little bit more specifically. So my life gain deck specifically, what I want to do is I want to gain a ton of life. That's what the white in the Abzan colors are for, mostly.
Yeah.
But I want to spend that life on things like drawing cards, doing damage, that sort of thing. That's what the black is in there for. Black is the best color to spend life on things.
Yes.
And then the green's also in there because it has some lifelink in there as well, but mainly because I want to give lifelink to giant trampling monsters so that, you know, I don't want to hit with a 2/3 and gain 2 life. I want to hit with an 8/8 and gain 8 life.
Yeah, to Hundy P.
Yeah.
Totally, and this Death Touch Tribal has turned into, the deck it became by force, basically you build a Death Touch wall, and you stay alive because nobody wants to attack you, you're too prickly, and then, while they're busy attacking each other, they're getting lower in life total, you're just hanging on the corner because they can't attack you, then you just, like, at the very end, just reach over and, like, boop, just kill them in a really dumb way.
Yeah. Can we talk about Step On Necks briefly?
Oh, let's please talk about Step On Necks.
Our meta has a motto called Step On Necks that we all say, but no one ever does.
No one follows it.
And what that means is if someone is weak, maybe they haven't hit a lot of lands and they're stalled on land. Maybe they just can't draw any creatures, so their board is just empty while everyone else is throwing haymakers around. The idea is like, hey, that guy's down to 15 life. Let's step on his neck while we can.
While we can.
That's the theory. Because if you don't, he's going to find what he needs and just come out of the slump while we've been taking each other out, and then that person will win.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah, totally.
So your deck is planning on being...
Yeah, my deck is like, don't hurt me. My neck is so vulnerable.
Step on next. Yeah. We don't step on next, but we should.
Yeah, it's true. It's true. I think I actively sometimes end up being that guy because I enjoy these janky tribal decks. But this deck, I have to say, has the great advantage of of even if people do want to step on your neck, it makes it pretty difficult to do so. Or you're just going to take, it's going to be costly for you.
Yeah, man.
Yeah.
Costly. You want to step on my neck? It's going to cost you.
Yeah, exactly.
Cool. So let's go. Let's break down the categories a little bit more specific of what these decks want to do.
Great. First category, don't attack or death will touch you. This is the death touch wall. This is the one that makes it prickly for everyone. First card up in this section, Hornet Queen. You know her. You love her.
Unless you're all about Vorthos, yeah. Then you hate her.
Then not interested at all. Yeah. But for the rest of us, four colorless, three green mana for a 2/2 flying death touch creature insect. And with the incredibly added bonus, when Hornet Queen enters the battlefield, put 4/1/1 green insect creature tokens with flying and death touch onto the battlefield.
That's nuts.
It's so good, especially when you're just trying to build like a wall of really annoying, don't attack me, it's going to be costly. Because 1/1 green insects are, especially if you have four of them, are expendable immediately. I'll chump block you, no problem. I'll trade my token 1/1. But also, if somebody wants to come in and attack you, it's much, much easier to get rid of one death touch creature than it is to get rid of five death touch creatures.
You got
to
rat the board.
Yeah, completely, completely.
Yeah.
Next up, Zathrid Gorgon. This one did some great work for me in the playtesting. It's 5 and a black. It's a 3/6 creature Gorgon with death touch, and it has 2 and a black tap to put a petrification counter on target creature. It gains defender and becomes a colorless artifact in addition to its other types. Its activated abilities can't be activated.
Ooh.
Yeah, so it's great. Not only the death touch wall, the don't attack me because your creature will die, but this can actively go out there and those creatures that are really bugging you, you can put this petrification counter on it.
This is a bit above a gumball. This card's amazing.
Yeah, super great. I know, super cheap, super great.
So I guess if it itself had like death touch, like if you put this on a death touch creature, it still has death touch, right? It's a colorless artifact with death touch, but it can't do any shenanigans.
Yeah. That was the big thing I found in the playtesting of it, was that any of the cards that, like, commanders and stuff like that with activated abilities that would doing stuff, that's like, what this is so good for. Like, commanders that aren't planning to attack anyway, so you're going to have maybe a harder time getting rid of them, just throw that petrification counter on it.
Well, and it's even not bad, like, I mean, if you put it on a 7/7, that's still a 7/7 that's going to defend for a 7/7, but, like, at least it won't be attacking you anymore.
100%,
that's pretty good.
And then when you're ready to attack, you can attach with your 1/1 insect creature with some some extra tricks, and you got death touch.
So who cares if that 7/7 statue blocks?
Yeah, exactly.
He's going to block to just dump him in the graveyard, right?
Totally, yeah.
Oh, man. Cool card.
Super great. Next up, Ogre Slumlord. 3 colorless, 2 black for an Ogre Rogue creature. a 3/3 Ogre Rogue creature. I just want to stop here and say, like, can ogres at all be rogues? I don't think so. Too big, too beefy, man.
Yeah.
You're not sneaking through some alley with, like, a bow or, like, taking somebody out from behind. Like, isn't that what rogues do? Like, pickpocketing somebody?
I feel like this, if we were going to cross over to D&D, this ogre would be more of the rogue that's just the thug.
I
just beat people up and steal their wallets.
Yeah. Yes, like a roguish gentleman. Like, almost handsome.
Yeah, that handsome, gentlemanly ogre.
Who beats people up.
It looks like his hair is a bit combed.
Yeah, which is more than you could say about most ogres. Which,
right?
Great. So he has the text. Whenever another non-token creature dies, you may put a 1/1 black rat creature token onto the battlefield. Rats you control have death touch.
Cool.
Lots of creatures are going to be dying because of this wonderful death touch deck. We'll get to how in a little bit. But this ends up creating a ton of rats. The other big thing, which of course, again, expendable death touch rat tokens, so good. But also, if there's a board wipe, all the creatures on the board die, you're left with a bunch of rats, which is
that's
pretty great.
That's so annoying.
Yeah.
Because then what are you going to come back with?
Well, they don't, just to be clear, they won't have Death Touch anymore because Ogre Slumlord won't be on the board anymore. But it's great. Hey, you can be left with 10/1/1 rats, which is not bad. No, it's not a bad little consolation prize.
It's something to while you build back up.
Yeah.
Cool.
Great.
So let's go back over to the lifelink side. Let's go back over to the side of good. If we're going to imagine that your side is evil, my side is good.
Oh, yeah. We got a handsome orc rogue. Yeah,
usually
we're bad.
Attribute to like life and death. But I mean, I got a lot of black cards that are mean anyway. I want to gain a bunch of life. My first category is life gain cards, cards that gain us a lot of life. Soul of Theros gains it by the boat load.
Yes.
This card is still under a dollar. 4 white, vigilance. It is a 6/6 and has 2 activated abilities. One works while it's on the battlefield and one works from the graveyard. They both cost 4 white. And they both do the same thing. Creatures you control get +2/+2 and gain first strike and lifelink until end of turn. All your creatures get bigger, first strike, and lifelink. And you can do that ability from the graveyard just by exiling this card. So you get one last shot at it, even if Soul of Theros dies. That's a ton of life.
So good.
That's a ton of life.
Oh, yeah. Like, so much.
And it's an activated ability, so you can surprise people with the first strike. Because they know they're like, well, I'm not going to block because you'll just give them all first strike. All right, I guess I'll take a ton. I want to put in Noble Purpose. It's an enchantment. 3 white. Whenever a creature you control deals combat damage, you gain that much life. Sounds like lifelink, doesn't it?
I think it is lifelink.
It is not lifelink.
Really?
It is exactly that. Whenever a creature you control deals combat damage, you gain that much life. Because lifelink doesn't always necessarily happen during combat damage. This is different than lifelink. So if I give a guy lifelink and have noble purpose, they both will trigger, and I will get noble purpose's life gain, and I will get the life gain bonus. The lifelink
no
bonus.
Way.
Yeah.
But wait, what about your already life gain creature? Same thing?
If it has lifelink... That's a distinct ability that happens whenever this creature deals damage, you gain that much life.
Yeah.
Noble Purpose is an enchantment which gives cards this phrase, which is different than lifelink. So so my creatures now have lifelink and this ability on it.
Oh, that is
two
sick.
Separate abilities.
Oh my gosh.
Right? We're taking advantage of the rules. We're manipulating the rules to our benefit, right?
For a couple of gumballs, man.
Yeah,
this is great.
So it's kind of like lifelink, but don't forget, it's not lifelink because it's double lifelink.
I had this card back in my old Tristani build, which I took down, but I had no idea. I think actually we have to go back and say that I won a lot of those games because obviously I would have gained a lot more life.
Yeah, we'll put a lot of asterisks on all
your
games. Yeah,
behind the records that we keep.
Noble Purpose, man. The Oracle text, nowhere does it say lifelink. It wouldn't work if it said attacking creatures gain lifelink. But that's not what the Oracle text says. The Oracle text says literally that, what I described earlier.
That's
so
nice.
Good.
Great.
And then I'm putting an Angelic Skirmisher, right? So I've alluded that I also have a fairly big team of attackers. 4 white for a 4/4 flying angel. At the beginning of each combat, choose first strike, vigilance, or lifelink. Creatures you control gain that ability until end of turn. Every combat. So if it's my opponent's turn, I'll probably pick first strike, so they're less likely to attack in. If it's my turn, I'll probably pick lifelink. But if I've already got, let's say, Noble Purpose, maybe Soul of Theros, I'll pick vigilance and get my lifelink another way.
Yeah, 100%.
Yeah.
So useful. Again, in Commander, that's what you always want is cards that have a bunch of different, they're adaptable, right? That you can use in a bunch of different ways.
So good. Great.
Yeah.
Right. Back to Death Touch.
Oh, yeah. Back to Death Touch. Right. Okay. So as I said, we're building up a Death Touch wall so people don't want to attack you. You survive to the late game so you can win in your dumb ways. Part of it, though, you have to deal with this next category is get rid of the bad things to stay alive. Because there's not just things that attack you that you're going to maybe stop, but there's other, you know, you got your artifacts and all that other stuff. And bad creatures with abilities. Although Zathrid Gorgon helps you do that. First up, Viridian Longbow. It's an artifact equipment for 1 colorless to cast. And it has equipped creature has tap. This target deals 1 damage to target creature or player. And you can equip for 3. So almost all of the creatures in the deck have Death Touch. You put this on there. You tap. Whatever creature you do damage to, dead from
dead.
One point of damage immediately. Which is super great. I have a couple different. There's a couple different equipments or other ways to give my creatures this ability, but it's super super useful, especially for like spot removal that you want to get rid of. Initially, I was worried about the cost of it because some of them are like tap, like Thornbite Stab has you have to pay 2 to do it, to activate the ability. But it's still so worth it because it's a repeatable every turn. It's 2 mana for a kill spell, basically.
Yeah.
And repeatable. It's so great.
Yeah. Like, if you're whining because it's too expensive to do, it's like, It's a 2-mana kill spell.
Yeah, 100%. Exactly. Shut up. Yeah. Next up, Acidic Slime, right on tribal theme.
Yeah, right?
3 colorless, 2 green for a 2/2 creature ooze. You've probably heard of this before. It's got Death Touch, which is super great. And when Acidic Slime enters the battlefield, destroy target artifact, enchantment, or land.
A true commander staple.
Yeah, real staple. Super classic. And then in this deck, also really, really useful. Because again, we're going to put a Viridian Longbow on this guy. Cool. No problem. Finally, Diabolic Tutor.
Ooh, a tutor.
Now, yeah, this is controversial. We'll talk about this in a second. Diabolic Tutor, 2 colorless, 2 black mana. It's a sorcery. Search your library for a card, then put that card into your hand, then shuffle your library. So I'm on the side of, like, I'm not really a fan of tutors, and I don't really have tutors in a lot of decks. This Death Touch Tribal is pretty janky. So, but why I put this on here is the get rid of the things to stay alive is I'm a fan of tutors that are used like for toolbox type stuff.
Used for the powers of good.
Yeah, there are no, sorry, there are, I guess, sort of like loose-ish combos in this deck, but no like infinite I win combos, but that require a lot of pieces and a lot of things to go right anyway. So this is not there for that. Like, it'd be impossible to search up. You're like, aha, I have this one card. Not going to help you win. what this card will help you do, though, is grab cards like Crux of Fate. What a great card, man. What a great black board wipe. So rarely are there dragons on the board unless you're playing a dragon deck.
Teneb the Harvester.
Yeah, I know. I know. so Crux of Fate, 3 colorless, 2 black. It's a sorcery. Choose one. Destroy all dragon creatures or destroy all non-dragon creatures. Great board wipe for 5 mana. Super great. So if you're in trouble, grab that with a Diabolic Tutor. You can grab your Golgari Charm. Yeah, that's it. That's it. For a swamp and a green, instant, choose one. All creatures get minus one until end of turn. Destroy target enchantment or regenerate each creature you control.
You're probably going to use this for the third mode.
Oh, man.
Regenerating each creature?
Yeah. If you do a big alpha strike on a team, and most of your Death Touch guys are probably going to be smaller than a lot of the people you're tacking into, and then you just regenerate them all.
Ugh.
Oh, just lovely. Just lovely. You can also grab Unstable Obelisk. Cost 3 mana. Tap to add one to your mana pool, which is super great. More importantly, for 7 colorless, you can tap and sacrifice Unstable Obelisk, destroy target permanent. Pretty expensive, but a great way in black and green to get rid of, and not that there aren't other ways, but great way to get rid of absolutely anything on the board that's bugging you.
And Glissa gets this back.
Exactly. That is the key. Unlike Putrefy or something like that. Wait, I think that's creatures, though, Putrefy. But this is an artifact, so it's going to come back with Glissa every time. So you can just repeatedly do this if you have a million mana.
And the way it works, too, is this will be in the graveyard by the time Glissa's ability triggers if you do a creature.
Yes.
Right? Because you sacrifice this. This goes to the graveyard, and then it points at a creature. That creature dies. Glissa's trigger goes on the stack. This Unstable Obelisk has been in the graveyard for like 10 minutes already.
Yeah.
By the time So like Glissa can be like, I'll take that back. Thank you.
Hundy P.
Yeah, cool.
Super great.
All right. Tutors for good. That's all right. Let's go back to the lifelink deck. Here's how we're going to spend some life. We're going to cast a Minion of the Wastes. 3 black for a trample creature with star. When you play Minion of the Wastes, pay any amount of life. Minion of the Wastes has power and toughness each equal to that amount.
Oh,
so it's just one of those, like, it's risky because, you know, you're going to spend 10 life on this to get a 10-10 trample. But then if they just kill it or, you know, put a putrefaction counter on it or whatever, then it's kind of wasted. But I feel like we're gaining enough life. Like, imagine Solotheros goes in with that, like, extra lifelink, that non-lifelink lifelink. It's like, if I've gained 40 life, whatever, I'll spend 20 on this.
No problem.
No problem, right?
Yeah, and also because it costs 6 with 3 black, too, it's probably a later game play. Well, yeah. I mean, depending. And that's usually when you could expect easily to have 60, 70 life.
Yeah.
And then, drop 20 or 30 life on this guy.
Oh, I would do it.
Totally.
I would do it. Let's talk about Baleful Force. 5 black. He's expensive. He's a 7/7 elemental. It says at the beginning of each upkeep, you draw a card and you lose 1 life. At the beginning of each upkeep.
Oh,
So my upkeep, your upkeep, player three's upkeep, player four's upkeep. So by the time it rolls back around, I've got four new cards and I've lost four life.
Oh, that's so good.
Four life ain't nothing to this deck. Ain't nothing.
Yeah, totally. Of course.
He's very expensive. And, right? We can play a bit of a reanimator angle with this deck because Teneb can just pull stuff out of the graveyard. So yeah. I can pull this guy out of the graveyard if anything happens for the three mana it costs to activate Teneb's ability.
Oh, man. And the value there, man. You're going to be drawing so many cards.
So many cards,
even if
right?
it just goes around once. Like, it's right? So good.
Yeah. But is that enough cards for you? Or do you want more? Are you greedy? We running greed. Greed is an enchantment for three and a black that you can pay a black mana, pay two life, draw a card. No taps. You can draw as much mana as you have life and as many cards as you have life and black mana. The art is a fantastic image of a dude vomiting gold.
Yeah, totally.
He's so greedy, but it hurts him.
Maybe he's vomiting because he realized he has golden knees.
Are his knees made of gold? I think those are knee pads.
Oh, man. I really wish it was those were her actual knees, which would make me vomit if I woke up and realized my knees were gold. I think I would be like, I'm throwing up.
You'd be like, oh, my knees. What happened to my knees? Yeah. Do we need to draw any more cards? Maybe not. But that's what greed is for. Like when you got life to spend at the end of the last player's turn before yours, you'd be like, oh, I got three black mana. Sure, I'll pay six life, draw three cards. No problem.
Oh, yeah. Have a life gain deck, you've got to put this in it.
That's why I had to use black, right? Yeah. I had to use black to spend some life.
Totally.
Cool. Let's go back to this Death Touch team.
Sweet. Did get rid of the bad things to life. So you stayed alive to the end. Everyone's attacking each other because they
no
don't want to attack you.
No one's stepping on your neck.
Too costly. Yeah, no one's stepping on your neck. So now we get to our win cons. And I say this with quotation marks, win conditions. First up, Phage the Untouchable.
Risky.
Very risky. Three colorless mana, and then black, 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 black. Also expansive. Legendary creature, Avatar Minion. It's a 4/4. Reads, when Phage the Untouchable enters the battlefield, if you didn't cast it from your hand, you lose the game. Whenever Phage deals combat damage to a creature, destroy that creature. It can't be regenerated, which is effectively your Death Touch.
Yeah.
But this is the key. Whenever Phage deals combat damage to a player, that player loses the game.
A powerful ability, to be sure.
Yeah, to be sure. Very risky play. So again,
very risky.
Here's what you're hoping happens with Phage the Untouchable. Here's the magical Christmas Land scenario.
Okay.
Everyone else has been attacking each other. They're lower on life. Maybe creatures are getting less and less because people are tagging into each other. Some of them are going. Ideally, you want to drop this, put your Swiftfoot boots on it right away.
Yeah.
Or find another way to give it haste. And there's we got a bunch of equipment that also provides trample, or you have a Rogue's Passage and a Whisper Silk Cloak. You got a bunch of different ways to get this guy through for damage for the damage you need to close it out. Also, when I said other players have been attacking each other, I'm assuming there's only one player left. It's just you and them. You let them kill each other first.
Yeah.
Because again, you should point out exactly the risk of this thing.
Well, if anyone has any blink effects, if anyone's running Rune or anything like that, that new the Eldrazi Displacer.
Yeah.
If anything causes this to leave the battlefield and come back in not cast from your hand, you're losing the game.
Super risky. Again, the plan is just stay around long enough that other people are weak enough that this works. When I was playing that, also, it's just a ton of fun to play because you're not dropping this till the end of the game anyway.
Right.
So if you do lose with it too, I'm of the mind of like, the risk was worth it. It was a lot of fun to do, you know, this really dumb big card.
I think that's a fair risk, right? You're not going to play that your first opportunity. Like, you know, we're in the beginning stages of the game and I'm up to 7 mana. I'm going to cast Phage the Untouchable.
Yeah.
Are you an idiot? Like, why would you do that?
This is the moment you're putting all your chips in the middle. You're going
wouldn't that be
when I was playing on Forge, I mean, what risk is there? But I played it early just for the heck of it, and nobody was playing blink effects, and so like people would destroy it, but then I would bring it back to my hand through some other recursion stuff, and then just cast it again.
Or if you can slap Swiftfoot Boots on it right away, it's like, okay, you can't target it.
Yeah,
so
totally.
Like, have a wrath or die.
Yeah, totally.
Because you know, if you wait until late, then maybe we've held on to some wraths. Maybe we got stuff to deal with it. But at the beginning, it's like, you got stuff?
Yeah. You know what I just realized? Like, Is Fearsome Awakening? I think it's four colors and a black, and it's return target creature from your graveyard to the battlefield.
Can't do that when I'm on Phage.
So if could your opponent play it on you and return it from? Oh no, it's your graveyard.
Yeah,
but there's got to be is there any cards out there that can return it from the graveyard to your
to
battlefield?
Someone else's graveyard or someone else's battlefield? I don't know. You could give it to someone else and then blink it.
Yeah, totally. Like, not in this deck, not in this for deck. Sure. Yeah. And I just want to throw there also, Quietus Spike is another one that I have in there. And I've got there's a couple other ones that are like this. Quietus Spike is three colorless. It's an artifact equipment. Equipped creature has death touch, which of course, you know, just like the tribal. Then whenever equipped creature deals combat damage to a player, that player loses half his or her life rounded up. And it costs three to equip. This, and again, I was talking about too, that there's some equipment I got that give trample. And so again, if you can get trample on something, the way it works with death touch, if you attack it with a creature, as Sean was saying earlier, only the first point of damage goes to the creature because that kills the creature, and then the rest tramples over to the player. And again, this is one you want to kind of save. I mean, you can have it on the battlefield. Why not? Because you can just recur it with Glissa.
Glissa does not need to worry about artifacts getting destroyed.
Not at all. But again, this one is just like, it's that way that like later in the game, you really start like, you can go in for like huge hits of damage, hopefully help someone else finish that person off. And then you go boop with your final death touch creature. Yeah.
Alistair's decks can be summed up in like, boop.
Yeah, totally. A lot of big stuff. Except, boop.
It's like, Phage the Untouchable. Quiet to Spike, you lose half your life. Are you ready for my assault? Boop.
I know, and then when people die, it's sort of like, oh, really? It's just such a quiet whimper.
He booped me. Yeah. I can't believe he booped me to death.
I love it. Okay, next up, another win con, Pestilence. Again, let's talk about the magical Christmas land.
Okay.
So, again, nobody's attacking you. It's a later game. People are lower in life total. In theory, they're going to be lower life total than you because no one has been attacking you, because you've been preventing that with your death touch stuff. So, if you could build up a ton of mana in this deck, which is super great. So then you can drop Pestilence and just do enough damage, hopefully, when you get into the late game, like 13, 14 damage kind of thing.
Yeah.
Kill everybody off, and you still have more life than that.
So let's read Pestilence for those who don't.
Right.
Know.
Totally talking about it, not at
that's
all
cool.
reading
that's
it.
Cool.
Two
people
colorless.
People probably know.
Well, two colorless, two black. It's an enchantment. One swamp and do one damage to each creature and to both players. If there are no creatures in play at the end of any turn, Pestilence must be discarded.
It's been oracled to each player, not just both players.
Oh, yeah.
This card was originally printed when the assumption was there would only ever be two players.
And that's the tough thing when you play this. You just have to choose which two players. All
what does both mean?
And if I wasn't clear about that, you don't tap it. So, again, it's like Sean was saying about that. You can just tap as many swamps as you want. Do this as many times as you want.
Killer against a token deck.
Oh, so good.
Right? What, are you going to make 41-1... Sapperlings? Cool. Yeah. They're all dead.
Yeah. One black mana. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Your Hornets will die too.
Yes. Oh, most definitely. I mean, again, this is like you can save this to
the
moment.
This is the boop, right?
Yeah. This is the boop at the end.
The boop. Okay.
Final win con, Shaman of Forgotten Ways, which I am pretty sure no one has ever put as a win con in any deck ever except this one.
Well, the people who dreamed of doing Biorhythm as a win con.
Yes.
Who can't because it's banned, yes. Probably tried to do this.
That describes me to a T. okay, so Shaman of Forgotten Ways, two colorless, one green. It's a creature, human shaman. It's 2/3. You can tap to add two mana in any combination of colors to your mana pool. Spend this mana only to cast creature spells. Still super great. Great ramp for this wonderful deck. But it has Formidable. You could tap 9 colorless and 2 green and tap it.
11.
11. Each player's life total becomes the number of creatures he or she controls. Activate this ability only if creatures you control have total power 8 or greater. So I was playing... And when I was playtesting this, my opponents were going at each other because they couldn't come at me because of my death touch thing. One of the guys did an alpha strike against the other player, and that player had like 30 life, so they weren't worried about my two creatures. I did this wonderful ability, got him down to 6, and then attacked him and won.
Oh, yeah.
Super great. So, again, it's the kind of, like, late game, this is how you boop them in the end. and also, especially if people do have a lot of life, they won't be expecting this. Well, I mean, I guess they'll see it. But
they'll know it's there.
Unless you can pay... No, you can't. Give it haste and then pay 13 mana at the same time.
Well, he's got to tap 11, 12, yeah.
14 mana.
Oof. Yeah. Plus 1 to equip the Swiftfoot boots.
Yeah, totally.
It gets expensive.
Yeah.
But, you know, in Commander, we got a lot of money to go around. Money being mana.
And just to be clear, a lot of things have to go right for this to work.
Yeah. Like, yeah. Yeah.
Win con in quotation marks.
Yeah. Yeah. So we could call this category the boops.
Yeah, to the boops. Yeah, totally.
Yeah. Cool. Let's go back to the lifelink deck. What's the lifelink deck been up to? Cool. So we're gaining a ton of life and we're spending that life for things, but let's get some side benefits from life gain. And I want to feature a couple of artifacts here. I haven't had them on the... I'll just put one in here really quick here. One second.
Oh, yes. Oh, great. This is a great one. This is also in my deck, actually.
Oh, yeah. So, I mean, I want to imagine these two cards here for this next category. Loxodon Warhammer and its basically same cousin, Behemoth Sledge.
Yes.
Both of these artifacts give creature a power bonus and trample and lifelink. So that's awesome. That's what we want to be doing. So let's put either of these on Ageless Entity. Green for an elemental. Starts as a 4/4. Whenever you gain life, put that many +1/+1 counters on Ageless Entity.
Ridiculous. Just
whenever you gain life, you put that many. So this card gets enormous fast.
Yes.
And if it's got trample and lifelink, I'm gaining life and it's getting huge and I'm trampling over. This is ridiculous.
Yeah, and different than a lot of cards that do this, because a lot of cards say when you gain life, put a +1/+1 counter on this, not put that many +1/+1 counters. So that's why if you gain 20 life, this is getting 20
counters.
Yeah, which is ludicrous.
Get out of here. How about Engulfing Slagworm? This is a 7/7 gigantic monster, so worm. Whenever Engulfing Slagworm blocks or becomes blocked by a creature, destroy that creature. You gain life equal to that creature's toughness. So good with trample, because as soon as they declare blockers, that blocker is just destroyed, and now it all tramples over the nothing that's there, so it does its full damage. It basically becomes unblockable once you give it trample, because why would an opponent block?
Completely. Also, I feel like thematically, this is the card where our decks meet.
Oh, okay.
It kind of has Death Touch and Lifelink.
Yeah, kind of. Yeah. I made a point to not have any actual Death Touch. I also have Stinkweed Imp, which does not technically have Death Touch, well, but it doesn't read Death Touch.
I feel like doesn't read
it. It doesn't read Death Touch. The same way that Noble Purpose doesn't give Lifelink.
Oh, here we go. Back to Noble Purpose. Yeah, okay.
Yeah, cool. Engulfing Slagworm. Put any of those tramplers on equipment on it. It's awesome.
So good.
What about Cradle of Vitality? It's an enchantment. It costs 3 and a white. Whenever you gain life, you may pay 1 and a white. If you do, put a +1/+1 counter on target creature for each 1 life you gained. It's Ageless Entity's ability for activation. Hashtag blessed.
Thank you.
So I can now throw these counters around. If I want to put it on Ageless Entity as well, I can double that up.
But, oh my gosh.
And so this one thing I'd like to point out rules-wise, Cradle of Vitality looks at... Hashtag blessed.
There's cats in your house.
There is. Cradle of Vitality. So whenever you gain life, it looks at the chunk of life you gain.
Yes.
This is another reason why we need to gain giant chunks of life. Because if I gain 20 in total, but it came from 10 sets of 2, then each 2, like I do 2 at a time for a per activation.
Yes.
I want to gain 10 at a time so I can pay once to get 10.
Yeah, so good.
That's why the green's in here. Yeah, there's a bunch of ways to just benefit from gaining all that life.
Yeah, and very quickly this deck with the life total will get out of hand, which is great.
This deck don't boop.
there's one more category I wanted to mention with the Death Touch Tribal deck, which is just the artifact recursion, because you got to talk about with Glissa, because she just brings so much stuff back. Some of the cards that you're going to bring back that are super great are things like General's Kabuto. You definitely want your usual ways to protect your commander. In Death Touch, a specific deck, General's Kabuto, so great. 4 colorless mana, artifact equipment. Equipped creature can't be the target of spells or abilities. So it's got Shroud. Prevent all combat damage that would be dealt to equipped creature. And it's equipped too. So effectively, this almost makes it like it has first strike, just but a little bit different as a death touch creature. So if you attack in with it or someone's attacking you, often your death touch creatures will be smaller, but now they won't die, just the other creature will die.
Oh, that's so annoying.
So annoying. And of course, the Shroud part. So even if you get rid of it, you're going to bring it back with Glissa. Wayfarer's Bauble. Great one to recur. And there's a couple bunch of different ones like this in there. Wayfarer's Bauble, one colorless. It's an artifact. You pay two and tap and sacrifice it. Search your library for a basic land card and put that card onto the battlefield tapped, then shuffle your library. With Glissa, that's why the mana can get out of hand in this deck, because there's a bunch of like artifact cards that do this, that sack to search for lands, and you're just going to be able to recur that again and again. Speaking of recurring things, Trading Post. I mean, I know you guys have talked about this a bunch, and it's such a good, versatile commander card.
It's a planeswalker.
Basically.
According to Jason Alt, Rainstorm Brewery.
Trading Post is four colorless for an artifact. Four different activator abilities. I'll read them off. One colorless and tap, you can discard a card, you gain four life. One colorless tap, you can pay one life, put a 0/1 white goat creature token onto the battlefield. One colorless tap, sacrifice a creature, return target artifact card from your graveyard to your hand. Don't need that with Glissa. Well, maybe. But one colorless tap, sacrifice an artifact, draw a card. That last one in this deck is particularly fantastic because I was playing a game. I had way more than enough mana out. So I kept recurring Wayfarer's Bauble with Glissa and then casting it because it's only one mana and then sacking it with Trading Post just to draw a card.
Yeah.
And it was just like a really cheap, easy way to do it.
Yeah. So good.
And there's a bunch more like that, but basically you gotta point out with Glissa, a lot of creatures are gonna be dying because of Death Touch. You're gonna be able to bring all these wonderful, very useful artifacts back.
Yeah. That's awesome. Cool. So those are the rundowns of the decks. Those are going into some categories of what we wanted to talk about. How the decks run. I think these are fun decks. Before we close the book on it though, I wanna bring up one issue that we said we would talk about. How do you feel about Felidar Sovereign?
Felidar Sovereign. Oh, I mean, I guess we should. I think we should talk about it. So it's 50 life is the thing, right?
40.
It is 40.
Yeah. It was here. I'll read it for you. I'm pulling it up on screen here for our YouTube viewers. We have YouTube as well, in case you're not watching on YouTube. Felidar Sovereign. It's 4 white-white for a cat beast, vigilance lifelink, 4/6. At the beginning of your upkeep, if you have 40 or more life, you win the game.
Yeah.
it was created with the assumption you're going to start with 20 life.
Yeah.
So that you would have to gain, you'd have to double your life and stay that much life, and then you'd have to, like, then you'd win the game. It seems like a difficult feat. But in our format, you can just drop this thing, and then you win during your upkeep if no one deals with it. How do you feel about that?
I feel the same way about this as I do with tutors, which is that the reason I don't like tutors is that they can make for a linear game.
Sure.
And too simple and too much the same every time.
Yeah.
So I think it's possible, like, people can be using this, like, Felidar Sovereign to, like, tutor for it and that kind of stuff in a life gain deck and just, like, try and rattle off a win. Which more power to you if you want to do.
Personally,
I'm not into that because that's not super fun for me.
Yeah, we're just opening up the discussion here.
Yeah, exactly. Like, where do you stand on it?
Well, okay, I feel like it's too... I don't want to use it as a flashed-in creature during my opponent's end step. Because what I could do, I could attack with Teneb, right? Oh, no, I guess that would be my turn. Never mind. Yeah, like I don't have any instant speed ways of getting it on the battlefield during my opponent's end step so that it's only on the battlefield between the end step and my upkeep.
Which is also like you'd think it's a little more fair that way, that if you can't deal with it in the round of the table.
If I drop it, you got to deal with it or I will win the game in 3 turns.
Yeah.
Like as soon as it's back to me. Which... I mean, is that so different from Insurrection? Because Insurrection basically also says, I will win the game unless you can deal with this.
Yeah, and there's a bunch of cards that do that.
There's a bunch of cards. But for some reason, cards that actually say, you win the game. Because Insurrection, for example, you still have to do the combat damage, right?
Like that's
But this card just has the text, you win the game, which is, I think, what people are against. I don't know.
It feels like a little too easy. Because I would say Insurrection is still harder to win with than this. Maybe I'm wrong, though.
Well, yes, because you have to have enough. You have to have enough creatures to do that, and then they have to have enough power to do enough damage to everybody. Yes, there is a couple more conditions than just straight win the game, but
totally
effectively, right? We're talking about cards that often you have, you have more time to deal with this than with Insurrection.
Yeah, you're not wrong about that. I think my counterpoint to that might be the six mana versus, because isn't Insurrection eight? Like, because you can put this down on turn six, and then when which by turn six people should have ways to deal with stuff anyway. Generally,
yeah, and like I'll probably be above 40 life turn six. I don't know. I'm running it in the deck. It's super cheap. It's two gumballs. I think it is in there fairly. It is not there to be flashed in. It is not a thing. Like, so I will leave that to you listeners. I would be curious, like, tweet at us at Commander's Brew how you feel about this whole business.
I'm just looking up the other card we talked about when we first brought this up, which and I think it's analogous to this. I think it's Luminarch Ascension.
Luminarch Ascension, right.
Yes. So Luminarch Ascension is one colorless and one white. It's an enchantment. At the beginning of each opponent's end step, if you didn't lose life this turn, you may put a quest counter on Luminarch Ascension. And then you pay one colorless and a white, and you can tap and put a 4/4 white.
No, you don't tap.
Oh, sorry, no tap, yes. Put a 4/4 white angel creature token with flying onto the battlefield. Activate this ability only if Luminarch Ascension has four or more quest counters on it.
So this takes a lot of work too, because
yes,
each opponent's end step, if you don't lose life. So if there's any pingers on the board, this will never get activated.
Yes, but if I'm not mistaken, Andy had this in an early deck, I remember, like from a long time ago, and he took it out because a couple games he managed to just get this in his opening hand, play it on turn two, and then it was just basically game over. Once around the board, you have the counters on turn two. Because usually on turn two, people don't usually have a way to make sure every single turn you're losing life. And then he just spewed out a ton of angels and destroyed everyone. But he took it out because it wasn't fun for him. Because he was just like, okay, yeah, I've won with this a couple times. I see how that works. Great. Not so interesting for me. At least that's what he said. I don't know what he'd say now.
Yeah.
But I'm sitting in a seat, so I can speak for it.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, you're an Andy seat. So you have everything you say is
Andy
officially,
has to believe, honestly.
Andy is on board with whatever you say.
And whatever happens, I won't step on Alistair's neck.
Yeah, that's Andy's official view.
Official view.
I don't know. I mean, on this podcast, that's out of our budget range. It's over $6, but like, it's certainly a powerful one. But yeah, it's an interesting discussion. I wanted to bring it up.
Yeah,
it's
great.
It's right out there. So please tell us. I'd love to hear how you guys, the listeners, feel about that. Give us a comment or a hashtag or a Twitter or an Insta
or
about
a Snapchat.
Snapchat about it. Yeah. Commander's Brew does have a Snapchat.
For all those in-depth discussions.
Yeah.
In-depth temporary discussions.
The best format for that. So...
three stars?
It's time to talk about three stars of the deck. Yeah, the three cards that perform the best in the deck. Let's go with the Life Gain deck. Kuro Pitlord. He's been here before. Six. Black, black, black. It's a 9-mana creature. That's very expensive.
Huge.
But Teneb, just throw him back on the battlefield is all I'm saying.
Yeah.
9/9, Demon Spirit. Also 9/9, great to give lifelink to. At the beginning of your upkeep, sacrifice Kuro Pitlord unless you pay black, 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 black. So four blacks.
That's very expensive.
All right, that's impressive, but... Yeah. Pay one life, no taps. Target creature gets -1/-1 until end of turn. In this deck, I can throw down 30 life and just be like, oh, can I kill everyone but me on the board? Cool. Now I have the only board. Fine.
Yeah, yeah.
And
here's my 9/9.
Yeah, yeah. Like with probably with lifelink, so I'm going to gain most of that back this combat step anyway.
Yeah, 100%.
Right? This guy is for sure a star of the deck.
100. So great. And also another one that you're not probably putting that down unless you're in the position to do it.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. I mean, I might put him down just as a wicked blocker.
Yeah, yeah.
And I'm always going to be willing to pay one life to get rid of like just one, like
of course,
brutal 1/1 or something like that. But
that
upkeep.
Ugh.
Yeah. Okay, this card's sick. It's called Killing Wave. X, black, sorcery. For each creature, its controller sacrifices it unless he or she pays X life. You are in the position to... And we also are running giant monstrous creatures. We don't run that many of them. So so not only do we only have to pay X two or three times, we can afford it.
Yeah,
we can just do the math and be like, I'm going to make it 8. Let's say 8.
Oh,
y'all want to pay 8 per creature? Y'all pay, or I'll pay 16 life to keep my two, yeah. my engulfing slagworm and my soul of Theros. No problem.
Yeah, no problem.
But like, are you gonna pay? Are you gonna pay like the massive quantities you need to keep your team alive?
Totally.
So this basically will just they will probably pay to keep their commander alive. They will probably pay to keep you know something awesome alive. But you're gonna take a huge chunk out of them, out of their board state, out of their life total. This card does a lot of work.
Yeah, even if you only make everybody take 8 damage, that's still a that's crazy amount of damage that you've just done to everybody.
And there's a corner case where like if one player is nearly done. You can just make it cost 1, and they're like, well, I have no choice.
I have to
let my whole team die because I can't afford to pay the 9 to keep my 9 creatures alive. Right?
Yeah.
Brutal.
Dude, yeah, bring over it. To my magical Christmas land. That sounds like my deck. Boop.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Boop. I love it. And then let's talk about True Conviction, number 1 star of the deck. This is an enchantment 3. White. Creatures you control have double strike and lifelink.
So good. Oh, so
good. Double strike and lifelink. And then if I've got Noble Purpose and I've got that bonus lifelink too, that's quadruple lifelink.
Yeah, it's so ludicrously good. And like, honestly, when you drop this, because for sure you wait till you build up your board until it's nice and ready for a juicy attack. And then you just drop this right before the attack. And like, man. Oh, yeah. By the way, double strike.
P.S. Double strike. And I'm going to gain a zillion life.
Yes.
And then Kuro Pitlord is going to spend all of that and... decimating your boards. I love this deck.
So
let
good.
Me play it. And can I do an honorable mention?
Yo, please.
New Odric. New Odric's in here.
Yes, yes.
Because like if one guy's got lifelink, now everyone has lifelink. If one guy has trample, now everyone has trample, right?
Totally. So, oh yeah, of course. Does it work with equipment?
Yeah. If the equipment is granting the ability, that creature has trample.
And then
Odric gives everyone trample.
Yeah. Oh, that's wicked.
New
great.
Odric, man, he's in there too. Love it.
Super great. Okay, let's talk about 3 stars of the Death Touch Tribal deck. Number 3, which could also be very close to number 1 because I love this card. This was my like surprise wonderful. This card is super great.
I hate this card.
Vengeful Pharaoh. He's 2 colors, 3 black for a 5/4 creature zombie with Death Touch, of course. Whenever combat damage is dealt to you or a planeswalker you control, if Vengeful Pharaoh is in your graveyard, destroy target attacking creature. Then put Vengeful Pharaoh on top of your library. This card is so annoying to play around.
Yeah.
It's so lovely because for sure, attack me. You got a bigger creature. No problem. I'll let Vengeful Pharaoh go to the graveyard. Perfect. Now, anytime somebody attacks me, I get to choose which creature, if more than one attack you, die. And then I put Vengeful Pharaoh back on the board, cast it again, back in my library, cast it again. Super, super great. And really plays into, like, if you can get this out on turn 5, it really plays into, like, nobody wants to attack you. It makes it really hard.
Yeah, for sure. I just don't like this card because I hate having to remember he's in my graveyard.
Yes, yes.
I always forget. And then I'm like, oh, I forgot. Oh, can we go back? No. Oh, okay.
Oh, that's fair. Although for me, it's like I feel like when I want it in my graveyard because it just feels like a warm security blanket.
Yeah, you know what? It plays different in this deck than any deck I've ever run in. So I think, yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah. Great. Number 2, Phyrexian Reclamation. I think you guys have talked about this before. Such a great card. 1 black mana. That's it. For an enchantment that says 1 colorless, 1 black. Pay 2 life, return target creature card from your graveyard to your hand.
Pretty decent.
These colors are recursion colors, and I'm sure if you guys are interested in building this, we'll put the deck list up.
On tapout.net/users/commandersbrew.
You absolutely, there's really great recursion cards in these colors. I don't have a ton of them in this deck. Obviously, the artifacts are coming back themselves because of Glissa, but this is such a good recursion card for any black or green or black deck you're ever playing, because it's so cheap.
1 in a black, pay 2 life. Guess what? That's in my deck too.
Yeah, right? It's so good. Does so much work. And especially with Death Touch creatures, you're going to have a lot of them go into the graveyard, specifically the creatures, not just our artifacts, because they're going to be smaller, and so you can just bring them back, which is super great. Number 1, oh, this is so good in this deck, Thornbite Staff. 2 colorless. Equipped creature has 2 colorless, tap. This creature deals 1 damage to target creature or player. And whenever a creature is put into a graveyard from play, untap this creature.
Yeah.
Also, the real bonus of whenever a shaman creature comes into play, you may attach Thornbite Staff to it, for sure no shamans in the deck.
Well, your biorhythm shaman. Yeah. Shaman of Forgotten Ways.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, there we go. Totally, I'm such a fool.
But he doesn't have death touch.
Totally not. And you equip him for 4, so it's a bit expensive equip. It can be mana intensive for sure, but so synergistic with his deck.
Well, yeah, because if you put it on any creature with death touch, you pay 2, tap it, kill anything, it'll untap.
Yeah.
If you have 2 more mana, kill another thing.
No problem. I have this in my chainer deck, and I play her with Avatar of Woe. And the only reason I didn't put Avatar of Woe in this deck, although I don't know what the price is.
I think it's cheap.
I think it's still cheap. Avatar of Woe is, I think, it's like maybe a 6 mana flying. We should just look this up so that we're telling you guys what it is.
Got it.
Great. Amazing. 6 colorless, 2 black. Creature Avatar, 6/5. If there are 10 or more creature cards total in all graveyards, Avatar of Woe costs 6 less to cast. It's got Fear, which is less important than the next ability, which is Tap, Destroy Target Creature. It can't be regenerated. So this could for sure also go in this Death Touch deck. I didn't actually put her in there specifically because of the no Death Touch ability, and I was like, man, gotta be tribal. But Avatar Woe works like all the Death Touch creatures do, which is that it's going to just repeatedly machine gun the board.
Yeah.
If it doesn't have specifically Avatar Woe's ability, you have to pay mana for it. But if you got Avatar Woe, it's just free.
Oof. Thornbite on Avatar of Woe, unlimited kills.
Yeah, just a machine gun. I've only managed to pull it off once, even though I've had, like, I've played that deck forever.
Yeah.
Because I've always just, like, anytime I finally get them both on the board, someone's like, gotta get rid of that thing.
Yeah, that, rightly so.
Yeah, rightly so. Yeah.
Let's talk about any cool and fun surprises or discoveries for the deck. I found a couple. Because I want to spend life for benefit, I'm interested in the Book of Rass. It's a 6 mana artifact from the dark. It's got an activated ability of 2, pay 2 life. Draw a card. This is basically greed, but on an artifact. Greed is going to be better for you. It's cheaper to cast. It's an enchantment. Arguably, enchantments stick around a bit better than artifacts.
Yeah.
But I just want to point this out. If you're running a deck without black that does have a lot of life gain, Book of Rass is going to be great for you.
So good.
Let's not forget about it.
Yeah.
I also discovered Slaughter when I want to think about ways to pay life. This is a cool card. 2 black for an instant. Destroy target non-black creature. That creature cannot be regenerated this term. Great. I hate that it only hits non-black creatures, but that's a large percentage of the creatures in the game. And has
True.
Buyback, pay for life.
Yeah.
So I can just pay for life and put it back into my hand as I cast it.
It's like the black version of Rewind for you.
Yeah.
Yeah. So good.
So good. Any discoveries on your end?
Yeah, I had a couple. 2 really quick ones. 1, Pathway Arrows. And I only want to point this out because it's like, it seemingly, this is not a good card, but in this deck, it actually does a ton of work. It's very similar to Viridian Longbow. It's cost 1. It's an artifact equipment. Equip creature has 2 tap. This creature deals 1 damage to target creature. If a colorless creature is dealt damage this way, tap it. Equip 2. We don't care about that last part. We just care about that this is like the Viridian Longbow. It goes on the creatures. But again, this is what I was talking about when it costs 2, like Thornbite Staff, but it's so worth it. Repeatable 2 mana kill spell if you have any Death Touch creatures in your EDH decks.
Huge.
Second one, Executioner's Capsule. So great. If you have any artifact recursion, just loving this. It's only 20 cents too. Costs 1 black mana.
Oops.
And totally disappeared. And then you pay 1 and a black, tap it, sacrifice Executioner's Capsule, destroy target non-black creature. So again, like super easy if you have any artifact recursion to just bring back and continually killing creatures, a bunch of creatures.
So I talked about Slaughter, which cost me 4 mana and 4 life.
Yeah.
But this costs you 3 mana.
Yeah, if I'm doing it all in one, yeah.
Because you're going to pay the 1 to cast it, you're going to pay 2 to sacrifice it and destroy a creature, but because of the way it works, it will be in the graveyard for Glissa to see so she can bring it right back.
Right
back. So you can just keep going 3 mana, 3 mana, 3 mana, 3 mana, and just kill as many as you want.
Totally.
Also
totally.
Non-black creatures. Weird.
Yeah, so great.
Oh, guys, that kind of sums up the decks.
Yeah.
We talked a lot about, you know, the philosophies of life gain and just how great it is. It's cool.
Yeah.
I don't know how this one plays with real human beings.
I know. Mine too. I really want to. I'm excited to get them out.
I think I'm going to brew this deck.
I think I'm going to brew this deck. Because yeah. I think that would be my other surprise. It's just like, it's. I mean, I love the janky tribal stuff, but like this one actually did all right, man. Like it punishes people trying to attack you to stay long enough to have some pretty dumb ways to win. And I consider it a success if I make it to the end of the game anyways.
So. Yeah. If you're second place, yeah, that's a success.
Like, yeah.
Great. Guys. Thank you so much for listening to those decks. I just want to give another shout out to our sponsor, the Wizards Tower, wizardtower.com. Yeah, man, we're going to be giving away some packs. And yeah, so if you're, they have a US and a Canadian store. So remember to check that out if you're across the border. You do get that free shipping, whatever country you're in, as long as you spend 15 in Canada or 10 in the US on singles.
So great.
But I always say just look.
Just take it.
Is it cheaper to ship it from Canada and pay Canadian dollars?
Oh, yeah.
Do the exchange.
Oh, I know. The amount of times when I'm looking at my cards and I wish I lived in the U.S. To check out those prices. Oh, the Canadian dollar.
But enough slagging on that.
The Canadian dollar.
Yeah, let's not slag on it anymore. Yeah. Let's do the quick budget report. Beep, 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 beep. This is where we take all the cards and drain the life right out of them, and the ones that are able to be resurrected are the ones we'll keep.
That is, Andy is right. These things are not analogous anymore.
It's tradition. Okay. My deck comes in at $40.50. It's already 10 under. That's awesome. Number one most expensive card is Courser of Kruphix. It's a $3.50 card. It's a 1 green enchantment creature, Centaur. It's a 2/4. Play with the top card of your library revealed, and you may play the top card if it's a land card. Whenever a land enters the battlefield, you gain 1 life under your control. There you go. That's a bit of life gain. He's in there for that, and it kind of helps smooth out your ramp. So you can play your lands off the top, so you don't have to spend cards from your hand to do that. Second most expensive card right now is currently legal in Standard. It's from Shadows of Innistrad, Always Watching. It's over $2 now. Non-token creatures you control get +1/+1 and have vigilance. Making lifelink creatures bigger is great.
Yes.
And giving your whole team vigilance is great in Commander.
Yeah.
Because then people are reluctant to attack you. So this is a keep for sure. Courser of Kruphix, we could cut, no problem. And the third most expensive card, definitely a keep. Well of Lost Dreams, almost $2. It's a 4-mana artifact. Whenever you gain life, you may pay X, where X is less than or equal to the amount of life you gained. If you do, draw X cards. How many cards do you want?
100.
Well, you die.
Yeah, fair.
You draw 100 cards.
This is why I don't make it to the end of the game.
I'm going to draw 99 cards. Alistair.
No, don't. Look at my hand. Look at how big it is.
Yeah. So, this card is amazing in this deck. Because, like, we gain incremental life all over the place. So we just pay an extra 1 to draw a card. Paying 1 to draw a card is a great deal.
Oh, so good.
I'm going to do that all day.
Yeah, for sure. Okay, budget report of the Death Touch deck. It comes in at a total of $47.66.
Not bad.
Under 50. Number one most expensive card, Quietus Spike. TCG player mid at $3.61. I would say I have a couple of Scytheclaw also does this, and then Phase the Untouchable. I would say generally, though, like there aren't a lot of cards that do this specific ability, which is to make a person lose half his or her life. So I'd say it's worth it in this deck, especially because it's one of the win cons, and there's not a ton of them. So, I mean, there's enough. Number two, Vengeful Feral comes at $3.21. I just had the greatest time on this card. I just thought it was so much fun. So I think... if you're really on a budget, you could absolutely cut it because there's other Death Touch things you can put in there to protect. But I'd recommend it as a super fun way, especially for that early part of the game when you're just trying to prevent people from attacking you.
Yeah.
And then number three, Glissa the Traitor, the commander, $2.85. I think you could cut her. I think you don't need her. No.
I fell for it. I friggin' fell for it.
Gliss is a keep. It's the commander. So.
You dope.
Sucker.
Yeah. Gotta keep Gliss.
I really wish you'd gone because I could see the thought forming in your head, the argument against it, and I really wish I could hear that argument. But
No, I actually was like, oh, is there another commander you think you would rather use? I was like, no, but there's a whole category that... No, I fell for it. Hook, line, and sinker.
Great.
Yeah.
Hey, everybody. It's contest time. We're going to give away 3 packs of Eldritch Moon to 2 listeners. All you have to do is tweet out this hashtag, EMN contest, anytime before Sunday at midnight. Include our... at Commander's Brew somewhere in the tweet so that we know you did it. And then we'll pick a winner and announce them in our next show. Good luck, everybody. Can't wait to give away damn packs.
Ooh, so get on that, everybody. As always, thank you, Alistair, for being a generous co-host while Andy's on his honeymoon.
Thanks so much for having me, man. You guys have the best podcast. It's such an honor to be on it. It's wonderful. I listen to a lot of these podcasts, 3 of them, and a ton of them. And this was so good.
3 is a lot, though, right? 3 is a lot. Like again,
it is. It's hard to fill, but yours is like on my list. Like you can't.
Thank you.
Yeah, yeah.
And to all of you out there who also listen to this on the reg, super huge thank you for doing that. It is such an honor. I hope you understand how deeply we appreciate you giving your time. I personally have like 4 or 5 Magic podcasts on my iPhone.
Yeah.
And like each one's like 1 hour 10, 1 hour 15. So
totally.
It takes up a lot of your day to go through these. Yeah. And sometimes I can't keep up. But so if you're making a point to listen to this every week, you are a true hero. Thank you very much.
Yeah, truly.
Check us out. Check these decks out on tappedout.net/user/commandersbrew. Commander's Bew doesn't exist.
What kind of weird site is that going to be?
I snap that up before someone else does.
right away.
We should also pitch our website here. You can go to commandersbrew.com to just see all the hub to get all this stuff. You can tweet us any cool comments. I'd love to hear your thoughts on the Felidar Sovereign debate.
Yeah.
At Commander's Brew. Individually, I'm at Sean Tavares.
And I'm at Haha Forbes.
Yeah, you can see it scrolling along the bottom there on the YouTubes if you want. Write us an email at gmail.com, Commander's Brew. Yeah, man, that's been great. Thank you again. And stay tuned for the Commander interview coming up next.
Great.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to the Commander's Brew Commander interview. I'm sorry Alistair had to leave. There was a sale on paper towels, so he went to the grocery store to buy some. But we are great. This is not only an interview, that we're promoting a new book. Ladies and gentlemen, The Felidar Sovereign. Thanks for being here.
Hey, man. How are you?
I'm great.
That's good, man. You look good. Yeah, I want to tell you that.
I'm
I want to tell you you look
good.
I'm
full of life right now.
Please don't.
Don't?
Yeah, you can leave that to me, all right?
Okay,
look, Sean, sure. I could tell you already, you're, these jokes and stuff like that, this is a mask you're putting up.
Oh, no.
I want to help you become a better you, be better at life, win life.
Yes, I would like to pass these lessons on as well to our listeners. Well, let's all improve our lives.
Yeah, exactly. Like, for example, I won, just right there, I won.
You just won life?
Yeah, that's right. I don't play by these rules. I don't play by normal life rules.
You must have 40 life then.
I choose when I win. Currently, I have 40. I win.
What if it's my upkeep, though? If it's my upkeep, you don't win yet.
Oh, man. See, Sean, okay, let me ask you. What do you do for a living?
Well, I'm an actor, so, you know.
Are you happy?
Yeah. Yeah.
It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. That's the thing. You're playing by the rules. You're playing life by the rules. Okay. Go outside the rules.
Okay, so I shouldn't use existing labels and ideas. Okay, ask me again. Ask me again what I am.
Great. What do you do for a living, Sean? Or what are you?
Space being.
Great. 6 out of 10. I'm going to say 6 out of 10 so far. Look, take my seminar. I'll get you up to a 9. No problem.
Okay. Well, great. This is great. Where will you be traveling with your seminar? If our listeners are, you know, outside of the Toronto area, where could they see your seminar?
Yeah, well, I mean, that's part of the problem with my seminars. You know, I'm about people like embracing the challenge of living outside their lives. So I hold all of my seminars on top of a really small rocky peak.
According to your card art, you're in a lot of rocky peaks.
Yeah, I basically come to an area, I look at the mountains around, I climb up a few, I'm like, yeah, this is the smallest, rockiest peak. Great. Let's hold the seminar here. $150 a head.
$150?
Yeah. Yeah.
I would like to come to your seminar, but I'm choosing not to pay.
Yeah. Okay, I see what you're doing. But you could choose not to pay, but I still win because 40 life.
I want to win.
That's logic. I'm sorry.
How do I win?
Sean, honestly. How do I win? First, get up on that rocky peak, man. Pay your $150. Put your money where your life total wants to be.
I don't get that, but I'll do it.
Don't
I'll
think
do it.
About it. Just do it.
Okay, I'll do it. I'll do it. I'll do it. Okay. Are there any tips you can pass on to us, like things we can do at home, like, for example, maybe some meditation or visualization? Is there anything we can do? Can you give us one little tip from your seminar that we can take home?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. If you're at home, I mean, look, life gain is so important for everybody, right? Regardless, like outside of the normal circle of life. So if you have any candles out, like get them around, put them in a circle, put something in that circle, kill it off, suck in the life force, you feel better. Don't do it to your pets, but maybe somebody else's
pets. You're talking ritual sacrifice?
Well, I look at it more as like combat damage.
You're looking at it?
Yeah,
oh
yeah.
Oh my gosh.
Like, you know, put something in there like a raccoon. Maybe something that's going to fight back a little bit.
But that seems like what a black card should be doing. You're color. You're the white section of the color pie. This shouldn't be, that doesn't sound right.
It doesn't sound right to you because you've already lost the game, Sean.
Okay.
I've already won.
Okay, well, I don't think there's anything more we can glean from this interview.
I agree with you.
Okay. It's been lovely to have you.
Thanks, man. Please come visit me on my Rocky Peak anytime.
Yeah. Do you have a website we can check out?
Absolutely. www.rockthispeaksolidarfeverin.com.
Solidarfeverin.com.
Somebody already had Felidar Sovereign. Honestly, it was so frustrating when
Someone
I found out.
Someone already had Rock That Peak. Someone already had Rock That Peak, Felidar Sovereign.
So I had to go with Rock That Peak, Celidar Favrin.
All right. This has been too much. thank you for being here. Good night, everybody.
Hey, is it true there's a sale on paper towels?
There, yes, there
Great,
is.
Great, I'm going to get out of here.
Okay, bye-bye.